Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm here. My voice is not what I would hope it should be. I've been drinking tea all morning, Carl.
I've been drinking since yesterday.
No coffee. Drinking what? Exactly. I saw you at the Christmas party last night.
I had one of everything.
Yeah, I should have a hot toddy this morning. You do have some Old Dominic on your desk over there, so we'll have to warm
toddy.
That up, don't you think?
Yeah.
It's Memphis toddy.
I'm
it's good stuff.
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm feeling. I feel fine. Kim St. Ange, however, is a bit under the weather this morning, more so than me. I feel fine. I've just got something going on with my throat, just like I did yesterday. By the end of the first hour or so, it'll be better. I promise you that. I have to work it out. I have to talk through it, and then my voice won't crackle like a prepubescent boy like they were discussing in the Supreme Court yesterday. That was some interesting testimony, for sure. Scary stuff, to be honest, that we have sitting United States Supreme Court justices who think it's okay to mutilate our children. It's the most insane argument I've ever heard, and I'll play some of it for you this morning if you missed the highlights of it yesterday, for sure. We're going to talk to Sharon Watson a little bit later because they're having a big blood drive right now. There's always a need for blood this time of year going into the holidays, and we're going to get to her in the 6 o'clock hour. I got Eben Brown calling in because they're now trying to get that Lawfare case in New York thrown out. And they're citing the Hunter Biden pardon as a reason to do that. So we're going to check in with Eben Brown from Fox News Radio coming up at about 6:35 this morning. Stay tuned for that. Carl, let's get to our top stories.
Let's do it.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I spoke to the president-elect this morning. He said, keep going, keep fighting. Find your way.
That is, of course, Pete Hegseth. His own mom went on the TV yesterday to try to defend him against these just crazy allegations that are popping up. It's like the Kavanaugh situation all over again. He's not giving up.
Eventually, a society or a country like China that has as much engineering talent as it has will also figure out that problem.
Yeah, Condoleezza Rice here on the she was with Shannon Bream talking about the debate over AI and how you legislate it and control it moving forward.
He's in Africa. He's not answering questions. He's not taking questions either about the pardon or this money. It will give a lot of ammo to the incoming Trump administration.
It absolutely will. We're talking about Joe Biden building railroads and giving $1 billion of your money away to Africa while we struggle, many people struggle in America right now under his economy. Wow.
I'm sorry, counselor. Every medical treatment has a risk, even taking aspirin.
I know every day in my life, I think when I take an aspirin, you know, I could do this or I could castrate myself. I mean, seriously, what could the consequences be? They're clearly very similar, aren't they, Carl? Those
sure
two things,
it is.
Don't you think?
I wanted to take some today, but I didn't feel like I could.
Aspirin?
Yeah.
Or castration?
Well, depends. Depends on how the day goes, Mark.
Yeah, no kidding. Depends on how Mark's voice goes so far. That was a Sonia Sotomayor actually trying to argue yesterday. You know, this is going to end up being a 6-3 decision in favor of Tennessee. I just see that coming. Alito ripped him a new one yesterday. I mean, he really he destroyed the argument they're trying to make. Ketanji Brown Jackson, Sonia Sotomayor. It was really kind of painful to watch when you see somebody who's willing to forego logic, which is supposed to be the basis of the law, for their ideology. You saw it plain and simple yesterday with Elena Kagan and Sotomayor and Brown Jackson. That's what they do. They will twist the law in circles to try to make their ideology work, whether it makes any sense or not. And in most of these cases, it doesn't make any sense. Go ahead and play cut number four, please.
In your petition, you made a sweeping statement, which I will quote. Overwhelming evidence establishes that the appropriate gender-affirming treatment with puberty blockers and hormones directly and substantially improves the physical, psychological well-being of transgender adolescents with gender dysphoria. That was in November 2023. Now, even before then, the Swedish National Board of Health and Welfare wrote the following. They currently assess, quote, that the risks of puberty blockers and gender-affirming treatment are likely to outweigh the expected benefits of these treatments, which is directly contrary to the sweeping statement in your petition. After the filing of your petition, of course, we saw the release of the CAS report in the United Kingdom, which found a complete lack of high-quality evidence showing that the benefits of the treatments in question here outweigh the risks.
Thank you. And they had no... Well, first of all, you had to get past the voice of the person who was arguing this. To try to drive their point home, they used a transgender attorney. So it was a dude who looked like a girl, and it was annoying. The voice was annoying. I'm sorry, you couldn't hardly get past that. But tried to argue that, well, that was just one study, and there were others that claimed that it did. I mean, the logic fell apart argument by argument yesterday. Go to cut number five, Carl, please.
Sorry. My friend's arguments with respect to the alternative approaches is pure policymaking. As Justice Kavanaugh recognized throughout his questioning, they cannot stand up here and say that if these alternatives were imposed, that there would be no detransitioners. So they cannot eliminate the risk of detransitioners. So it becomes a pure exercise of weighing benefits versus risk. And the question of how many minors have to have their bodies irreparably harmed for unproven benefits is one that is best left.
I'm sorry, counselor. Every medical treatment has a risk, even taking aspirin. There is always going to be a percentage of the population under any medical treatment that's going to suffer a harm.
You have to listen to it to believe that it actually happened, that a Supreme Court justice is trying to argue that taking a puberty blocker, which would in this particular case prevent you from ever having children, is the same risk as taking aspirin. It was kind of embarrassing to watch, and I don't think there's any doubt how the court will rule on this. Even the Supreme Court justice, who will ultimately sometimes vote the other way, made it very clear yesterday that he's not putting up with this either. I think Tennessee wins this case, which is good for Missouri, who has a similar case that they now will not have to worry about defending before the United States Supreme Court. Time for us to get to a quick break here. Carl, who has got our national anthem this morning?
Mark, it's going to be the United States Army Field Band.
Very nice.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to see more companies make things in America, consider buying more things from companies who are already doing that very thing. Companies like American Giant. These guys have been making t-shirts, sweatshirts, flannels, and blue jeans in America for the last 14 years, with cotton grown right here in the USA. That means good jobs for lots of hardworking Americans in factory towns all over the country. Check out their stuff in stores everywhere, or pick up something awesome at American-Giant.com.
Nice.
I hear three shots. I was parking down there in the car. I hear three shots. Yeah, and then when I looked, there's a man down. Yeah. Yeah, and then the guy crossed and then he ran. He's a white male, all in black, with a backpack. He crossed this way. That ought to see. And then I called 911. But yeah, maybe someone else already called. But the guy, he was here in this corner the whole night. Yeah.
Who was on the corner?
The guy who shot the guy.
Who was standing across the street?
He's standing here at this corner.
Yeah, one of the witnesses yesterday to that shooting of Brian Thompson, the CEO of United Healthcare. Wow, what a frightening incident. But, you know, I listened to something pretty fascinating this morning. And I don't have the sound for you, but it was a group of special operators who watched the video of the shooting. Mm-hmm. You can see the clip online now of where the guy walks up behind him at some distance and fires twice.
20 feet.
And to hear them break this thing down, like the chief, they're pretty sure this was a professional hit. Go to cut 12, Carl, please.
You know, we have no way of knowing that. From watching the video, it does seem that he's proficient in the use of firearms, as he was able to clear the malfunctions pretty quickly.
So these special operators had an interesting observation on this. They're like, there's no evidence that this guy is a pro because of the way he did this. Number one, the guy said, if I was going to assassinate somebody with a .22, I'd walk right up behind him and put it at the base of their skull and I'd shoot once and then I'd walk away calmly and I wouldn't have to fire two shots. First shot hit the guy in the leg. Second shot hit him in the back. So there were two shots. Killed him. Obviously, it was a well-placed shot. The gun did malfunction in the middle. Here's what their argument was. They said that assassins oftentimes use a smaller .22 load that doesn't cause the semi-automatic weapon to cycle. So when that happens, you have to reach up and pull it yourself to load the next round. You can see him do that in the shooting. To them, him not being prepared for that malfunction, he knew how to clear it, but he clearly didn't expect it. And they said that was more evidence that whoever did this, it was intentional, but they don't believe it was some sort of a professional hit because of the way the guy carried it out. Walks calmly down the alley, gets on a bike and rides off. They may never catch this guy. I watched a video on Twitter, on X, of these masks you can get that look like pantyhose that you slip them over your face, and they've got a digitally printed face on them. And if you pull a hoodie up over it, it makes you look like a completely different person. Now, this guy had a mask of some sort on, but that's frightening how real the technology has allowed that to look these days. So I don't know if
it's Mission Impossible stuff.
It is Mission Impossible kind of stuff. And you got to think that, you know, they digitally created this thing and anybody can buy these on the web, on the internet. If you want to hide your identity from someone, you could have just worn a COVID mask, right?
Yes.
That would be completely normal in New York City. You see it around here on occasion, but that would be completely normal.
Especially outside
New York City. Yeah.
Or driving by yourself.
Right, right. So you know that that's the insanity. But they have not caught anybody yet in that case. If any news breaks on that while we're on the air this morning, of course, we'll bring that to you for sure. It was pretty funny to watch on MSNBC yesterday when they had to apologize for a guest going too hard on Fox News because they realize how badly they're losing in the ratings. I'll play that for you for Mika Brzezinski coming up here shortly. When we come back, I'm going to let you hear our conversation with Taylor Riggs of Fox Business. If you've ever had any question about why Bitcoin just hit $100,000, Taylor can kind of explain some of that to you. I thought it was a fascinating conversation as somebody who watches this from Wall Street. And she's not all in on it yet, but enough people are that this stuff's $100,000 a coin effective today. We'll be back in just a minute. Little update on some breaking news out of New York this morning. The United Healthcare CEO has been fatally killed outside of a Hilton hotel in Midtown Manhattan. And according to, this is the New York Post, it's possibly a targeted attack because somebody's reporting that the person that shot him was wearing a mask when they ran up to him and shot him in the chest. And then left. Now, they're headquartered, what do we say, out of Minnesota, Carl?
That's where the, yes, that's where the.
Yeah, but they were in New York for a stockholder meeting when this happened. So, Brian Thompson, age 50, was killed near the hotel entrance at like 6:46. I just wanted to, in case you hadn't heard that yet, that's a developing story this hour out of New York. Let's get to our friend Taylor Riggs of the Fox Business Network. I mean, most people probably don't realize how big of a company United Healthcare is. Carl was telling me, revenue-wise, they're one of the biggest companies in the world, aren't they?
Number 11.
Yes. So this is obviously such a sad story. He was in town for a two-day investor meeting. We are just hearing now that they've now canceled the investor day, obviously, to deal with this really sad tragedy. United Healthcare Group is sort of the insurance business under United Health. Yes. United Health CEO, as we know, is okay. That is on a big member within the Dow. And so obviously do not want to talk about the stock price in relation to this, but this is sort of how you can think about the business. So he sort of oversees a big portion of the business underneath the umbrella of United Health. Obviously really sad. You know, I don't want to speculate, but when we think about safety and crime in the city, of course, as you mentioned, we are hearing that this was a targeted attack, but we bring this back to the election. This is why people really voted a little bit more red than we thought we would in New York City, because safety is top of mind, no matter where you are. So, you know, again, canceling their investor day and just a really sad story. They're about five blocks north of where I am right now.
Wow.
So we got the reports this morning. I was already at work, so I haven't seen the commotion outside. But again, just a sad story overall.
Yeah, and I'm sure one that you guys will be covering throughout the course of the day here. You know, Kim and I, we were talking about Bitcoin earlier. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I saw Virgin Voyages is the first cruise line to start accepting that. And I'm just curious if this is what we're going to start seeing. I know other businesses, Starbucks, I'm trying to think of the other companies. Was it Best Buy? Some of them already accept Bitcoin as a form of payment, which I find interesting. Do you think this is going to continue with, or do you think this could, you know, bottom out at some point and basically crash?
So I think that we always talk about how you can't stop progress. I think there is a movement more than just a moment of Bitcoin. And I think the movement is trending more towards, is it a safe haven asset? Is it a diversification away from the dollar? or is it now a form of payment? And I think more and more people are thinking about this as a form of payment. You know, last time I was on with you guys, I was talking about how Pennsylvania introduced legislation where they want to put Bitcoin on their balance sheet. We've talked a lot about companies like MicroStrategy, which is selling stock to buy Bitcoin. So Bitcoin is an asset on their balance sheet. So I think we're seeing more and more of thinking about the utility of Bitcoin, what it is, how we use it. Maybe I'm old school. I'm not quite there yet. I remember, was it a few years ago where the guy bought pizza for a couple thousand Bitcoin? And now that the price of Bitcoin has gone up, maybe you didn't want to waste all that on on a couple slices of pizza. So we're not there yet when we think of it as a currency. But look, Miami mayor at one point was taking some of his salary in Bitcoin. El Salvador, we've talked a lot about that. So I think this is a movement. And I don't think we stop it. I just don't know how quickly we're going to see the adoption. But it's sort of encouraging for Bitcoin enthusiasts to see this more and more in the conversation.
Yeah, that's true. We're talking to Taylor Riggs, co-anchor of the Big Money Show on Fox Business. Taylor, I was in the industry briefly, the financial services industry, for a couple years. Help me wrap my brain around this. How can you own Bitcoin if you don't own an entire Bitcoin? Is it like buying mutual fund shares? Is that basically what it is?
Yes. So the awesome thing is they just come out with Bitcoin ETF.
Okay.
So let's say that you want to buy a share of NVIDIA because that's the hot stock. But NVIDIA is a couple hundred dollars and maybe you don't have that. You can still buy fractional shares. This is sort of the same story with Bitcoin, but now through an ETF, I don't have to actually buy one Bitcoin. I can buy an ETF, and that ETF buys the underlying Bitcoin for you. So it just sort of makes it easier. And then the ETF trades kind of like a stock. You can get in and out of it really quickly. There's liquidity. There's price discovery. But it's easier than going in and having a hard wallet and having to actually buy a Bitcoin.
And I mean, just out of interest, is the ETF doing right now? I guess it's mirroring how well Bitcoin's doing.
Yes. Yeah, you know, there's multiple Bitcoins out there. I think Invesco, BlackRock, all these big companies have launched and gotten approval from the SEC to launch these Bitcoin ETFs. They've done really well. Again, with the price of Bitcoin, because it really does mirror that. Another company we talk a lot about is MicroStrategy, because MicroStrategy owns 1.5% of all Bitcoin outstanding on its balance sheet. Wow. And a plug, we have Michael Saylor, who's the executive chairman of MicroStrategy, on Fox Business later in the 2 o'clock hour. So there's a lot of different ways if you're interested in Bitcoin, but you're afraid to actually buy a physical Bitcoin. There's some other ways that you can play it.
I thought Saylor was the one who was saying he thought it would hit 200,000, which it's about 900, or I'm sorry, it's at about 96,000 right now. I thought I heard a clip saying it'll hit 200,000 and then crash.
You know, we'll have to ask him at 2 o'clock. I think that these are bulls who really believe in it. And again, we can debate the utility of it and what we use it for, but it's hard to argue against the Bitcoin crowd right now when it's up. But again, I understand how people on the other side say, but what is the value? Like, what is, like, with gold, you have a gold bar.
It's tangible, right? If everything, if hackers, like, just the whole system went down, poof, does all the Bitcoin just disappear? Because you don't have something like gold, to your point, Taylor, where it's a tangible item where if I needed to trade to get food or something for my family, I could give somebody something. You know what I mean? I think that's the scary part for me.
That is the debate.
Yeah.
That is the debate. But we're thinking more in terms of holding a physical $1 bill. Yeah. You kind of just hold it in your bank account. When was the last time you actually held a physical $1 bill? So when we're thinking digital currencies, I think that's the way the youngsters who are growing up with this idea are thinking about it. And they also want a way to be sort of off the grid, from the Federal Reserve, who feels like they have seen their value of their dollar be devalued by all of these policies, and Bitcoin has not. And so I'm with you. I'm old school, and I always want to be hesitant to make investment recommendations again, because to me, this is still very much a speculative asset, but much speculative now than it was 10 years ago. So it is the hot topic. Yep. I think you are right about that.
Wow. Well, I tell you, Taylor, we always appreciate having you on. And I know before we maybe speak next Thursday, is your marathon before next week?
Oh, you are so sweet to remember. It is this Saturday.
Oh,
so
wow.
I would love all of your prayers.
Yeah, good luck, Taylor.
We certainly will be thinking about you for sure.
There's a cheering crowd.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you both.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Taylor Riggs from the Fox Business there, the Big Money Show that's on from noon to 1 Central Daylight Time.
I see value in investing in Bitcoin. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just telling everybody why I have concern about the future of Bitcoin.
And I think she's right. I mean, I think there are, maybe it's a younger crowd kind of thing, but right now it's working for them. Let's put it that way. If you were smart enough to buy some at 30,000, guess what? It's at 96 now. Wow. Who would have thought? All right. We'll be back right after this break. Stay tuned. All right. Welcome back. Still struggling with the voice here a little bit this morning, but we're going to get through it. Kim St. Ange did not make the call today. She is not feeling a little under the weather. I think her little boy is not feeling well either. So we hope that they're both feeling better by tomorrow. In the meantime, I don't know if you got to hear this yesterday or not, but Senator Eric Schmidt joined Mark Rudin yesterday afternoon. And a couple big issues going on right now, right? Number one is this pardon that Joe Biden has granted, like a blanket pardon for his son. And the story now that the White House is seriously considering extending pardons in advance for people like Tony Fauci and maybe Liz Cheney out of fear that Donald Trump is going to go after them. I've not heard him say that. But if they were to do something like that, that's an abuse of power. There's no doubt about that. Now, you may have your own opinion on what he did for his son. You have to ask yourself, if you had the power, would you do it for your son? Maybe. But the way he went about this, by pardoning him before the sentence was even handed down, to cover 11 years, just suggests right off the top, he knows he was guilty of a lot more, being an unregistered foreign agent and all that stuff. That's one of the questions that that Mark asked Senator Schmidt yesterday, and here was his response.
It pulls out and pays
$1 trillion a year on the interest on the debt, venturism that people like. You know, because look, I'll just close with this. Politicians,
hang on,
you know,
clearly
it's worse than that.
Here we go.
It's not any more complicated than that. He saw an opportunity to use his position to help his son. He did it. Now, it's worse than that because the Department of Justice, Mark, if you remember, was trying to give him the sweetheart deal in the first place. The judge started asking questions.
That's right.
And then only then did they go back to these gun charges. So Joe Biden went back 10 years, interestingly, right before he joined the Burisma board, the Ukrainian energy company that President Trump, by the way, asked about. He asked about this unfair dealing over there when Joe Biden was bragging about when he was vice president withholding billions of dollars of aid and, you know, until they got the contract. Trump asked about it. He got impeached for it. This is a sweeping, sweeping pardon that goes back 10 years for things that could involve, representing a foreign government without being registered and undue influence on the United States government by Hunter Biden. So this stuff's nasty. He did it. It was an exercise of raw power. I don't want to ever hear a Democrat talking about Trump being a quote-unquote threat to democracy when they tried to throw him in jail. And they're willing to excuse all this nonsense.
Look, there was some harsh.
Yeah, and obviously on with Reardon there yesterday afternoon. They're going to do that. You know they're going to do it again. And every time Trump would say there's a two-tiered justice system, it was Joe Biden who would argue that he's out of his mind. And then he accuses his own Justice Department of having a two-tiered justice system and dealing with his son. It's ludicrous on its face. And somebody pointed out yesterday, an attorney, not me, that what Joe Biden missed here is that he might have ended up subjecting his son to prison time anyway. Like, for example, if they were to go after Jim Biden or Joe Biden, they could call Hunter to testify. And because he's been pardoned, he couldn't invoke the Fifth Amendment. And if he didn't testify, he could be held in contempt. Here's the attorney explaining that. Listen.
So now when they ask Hunter Biden, they put him on the stand, if they do, and they ask, how much money did you launder through Ukraine to your dad? And he says, I'm taking the Fifth. The judge can compel him to testify because he is immune from prosecution on that. And if he still refuses to testify, he can hold him in contempt and he can put him in jail until which point he decides to testify. Good one, Joe, proving you're still a complete idiot.
Yeah, I don't know if it gets to that or not. I'm just saying that's something that when I first heard about it, I didn't consider what the ramifications might have been. But he can no longer claim the Fifth if they were to call him in as a witness. And if he refused to testify, they could hold him in contempt and put him in jail until he agreed to cooperate. Think about that. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if the Trump Justice Department has any interest in doing that or not. The other thing Eric Schmidt commented on yesterday was his Pete Hegseth nomination. He survived Wednesday. The suggestion was if he survived Wednesday, he might make it to a nomination hearing where he would sit in front of the panel and actually answer some of these hard questions. Supposedly, Ron DeSantis is in the background. Maybe the Iowa Senator Ernst is in the background waiting if something was to happen. Hegseth is not backing down. I mean, he said that he talked to Donald Trump about this. Go to cut two.
I spoke to the president-elect this morning. He said, keep going, keep fighting. Find you all the way.
And that's apparently what he intends to do. Eric Schmidt met with Pete Hegseth apparently on either yesterday or Tuesday, and he talked about that to Mark yesterday. Listen.
Yeah, I met with him yesterday. I'm on the Armed Services Committee, and so that's where that nomination will run through in January. When we get back, we're here, you know, for a few weeks in December, and we had a great meeting. And I asked him a lot of direct questions about how he would, you know, about the allegations, and but also, and probably more importantly, about how he's going to reform the Pentagon. I think that's why President Trump picked him. We need somebody who's going to get rid of DEI once and for all. In our military, we need somebody who's going to very much focus on China and also reform the procurement process. We need to be innovative. China has a bigger Navy than we have right now. They're competing with us in space. This is a serious issue. Our big advantage is innovation. It's being stifled by a Pentagon that's too bloated. So we need a reform-minded person in there, and I think he is that person, and it's why President Trump selected him.
Yeah, you know, I heard yesterday one of the network newscasts, I'm sure it was probably Fox, that maybe it was Kilmeade yesterday morning, who said that military recruitment numbers are already up. They're already trending up just based on the knowledge that you would have somebody closer to their age and somebody who served in the ranks like Pete Hegseth in charge of the department. That says something in and of itself right there. Now, if it ended up being DeSantis or Ernst, I don't know if that same thing would happen. I would assume, knowing that you've got some common sense back at the head and that they're not going to be teaching DEI but how to hit a target at 500 yards with a rifle, maybe that would encourage some people to enlist who wouldn't have otherwise because of some of the nonsense that's gone on. All right, next hour, we're going to talk to our friend Eben Brown from Fox, because Donald Trump's attorneys are now trying to get that case up in New York thrown out based on the Hunter Biden pardon. We'll talk to Eben at about 6:35. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.